In the last session, I talked about the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, and shoes of the gospel of peace. For the belt, to wear the belt of truth, you have to learn the word of God and stand firmly on it. And such people will overcome, overwhelmingly overcome with the word of God. And they won't be shaken by any attacks of the devil. To have the breastplate of righteousness is to practice the word of God and cultivate righteousness in our heart. So they can defeat any deception of the devil. And to have the shoes of the gospel of peace, I talked about God calling Moses and telling him to take off the shoes. And to go before God, we have to take off the shoes that are dirty. And in this session, I'll talk about why God calls for the shoes of the gospel of peace and what we have to do to put them on. So what are the shoes, dirty shoes that we have to take off? It refers to all the untruthful things that we used to do before we accepted the Lord. Adultery, theft, passing judgment and condemnation, hatred, jealousy, and so on. So from Colossians chapter 3, 8 to 10, let us talk about some of the untruthful things. And other than these, there are so many things, so many sins, which are all the dirty shoes that we have to take off. Verse 8 says, "But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth." So let us first talk about anger and wrath. We've been praying to cast it off. So you might think you cast it off, but sometimes you have your temper coming up. It means you are still in flesh. You might give excuse, saying, the other person is so evil that you had to throw a tantrum. But you have to admit that you can have such an event, incident, because you have anger and temper inside. And until you stand firmly on the rock of faith, sometimes you fail, sometimes you fall. And there are other people who fall away from the faith completely. So how do they fall away from faith? And falling away from faith doesn't only happen when you fall away. You fall away from faith when you dwell in flesh. So when you do, when you practice lawlessness, when you practice something untruth, you are still in flesh. If you have cast off something, you can never go back to the flesh again. And if you go back, if you backslide, you will lose faith. So you fall away from faith completely. So as long as you dwell in flesh, you might fall away from faith any time. Especially those who are in spirit and whole spirit. You would never have temper. You never reveal your anger. I'm not telling you so that you can check on the man of spirit and man of whole spirit, but you can just check yourself. So does that mean just because you are in flesh you can get angry anytime? No, of course not. You have to get rid of anger as quickly as possible. This is the chance. If you just cultivate spirit, this is the chance for you to get rid of your anger and your evil in you. But if you, because of some disagreement, if you get angry and if you slander and quarrel, then that is evil. God says that is evil. It means you are not yet holy saints of God. You are not wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace. So we have to get rid of, we have to hate this anger and wrath in us and cast them away. Next is malice. Malice is the evil intention to harm others. For your benefit, sometimes you harass other people. Even the unbelievers say it is evil. But if believers have this kind of malice and create lies and create schemes to create confusion, this is such an evil act. And if you have, let us check whether we have this kind of malice or not. About those who give us a hard time, if you hate them, harbor hard feelings, ill feelings toward them, then it is also evil. Next is slander. Why do we have to slander others? We would have to want others to be well off, better off. Just because of some disagreement, do we slander others? Just as everybody looks different. Everybody's character, taste, everything is different. And if somebody's different from you, are they wrong? Oh, they have different ideas than mine. So you try to, do you have to try to make their thoughts change, their ideas, agree with your own ideas? Of course not. Sometimes in the truth, you might try to explain what the truth is, but you can't force it. By the work of the Holy Spirit, you can move the heart of the other person, but you can't force your ideas on him. And especially when it is not even the truth. And if it is your self-righteousness, your own ideas, then of course, forcing it onto others is evil. Just because others slander others, do you do the same? Of course not. You must not slander in any case. Because there is the God of justice, okay, you can commit everything to God. You can just pray about it. You can't use the human methods to slander others. Let us keep this in mind. We always look up to God. Why did you come to church? You didn't come to church to see me. You came to worship God. You came to praise God. So why do you give offerings? It is the word of God, the tithes. It's the command of God. And we give construction offering, thanks offering, and missionary offerings. Who do we give it to? We are giving it to God. So we are giving it to God in a sense that we give to the church established by God. So we receive the prayer of blessing, benediction, and it is used for God's kingdom. And sometimes you lose grace in your faith and you don't give tithes and offerings any longer, and it is against the law of God, commandment of God. So you don't like your parish pastor, so you don't give offerings. So you have some uncomfortable situations with some of the leaders in the church, so you don't give offerings. So what would God say about it? He would say, you are looking at people and not me. That's not how it should be. We come to church to meet God, to worship God. And worship service is to worship God. So we have to always look up to God and listen to the teachings of the shepherd who teaches us the word of God. So this is truthful. So because we believe in God of justice, we just do what we are supposed to do, and we have to keep what we have to keep because we look up to God. And if we believe in the work of God, you don't have to slander anybody. You don't have to take the things in your own hands. You can just commit everything to God and slandering and trying to something, taking it to your own hands. That is evil. It is also the dirty shoes of the untruth on it. And there is abusive speech. So such a thing shouldn't even be on your mouth. So of course, foul language, sexually abusive language, judging, condemnation, gossip, and any words of untruth, they are all abusive speech. So Senior Pastor said, can you spread some untruthful things about other people? Just because it is about other people? Suppose, can you talk about other people's faults, wrongdoings? Do you have to spread them? Do you have to make it known? God never teaches us so. When it is about other people, you must not spread any faults of other people. If you are a man of God, if you are really a man of spirit, you can't dare do that. So just because you are not a man of spirit, so can you just pass judgment and condemnation and slander others and speak abusive speech, have abusive words? Of course not. It is shameful. And you are slandering others and you are gossiping and... Suppose you are a man of spirit and if you are slandering, what will happen? Maybe you're not going to be a man of spirit any longer. So what is goodness? If you practice goodness, you'll have peace. That is why it is the shoes of the gospel of peace. If you do evil and commit sins and throw temper tantrums, just because others are not looking at you, then you won't have peace in your heart. If you do goodness, if you practice goodness, you'll have peace. And yet, if you still have abusive speech, passing judgment and condemnation on your mouth, on your lips, then it is to put on the dirty shoes. When you come up to this altar, you don't just come up here, especially with dirty shoes. Even the children, they don't come up here because this is supposed to be holy. And so when they come up here, they take a bath, and when the performers, singers, when they practice and rehearse here, they pray before that. And if you put on some dirty, muddy shoes on here, everybody would be so surprised. Who would go into, suppose your house is so clean and somebody, they have these dirty, muddy shoes and they go up to your bed. Nobody would allow that. And who would do that? Nobody. And who does that? Thieves, robbers. Because they are evil people. So we must never do such a thing. So what is to wear dirty shoes? Slandering, gossiping, passing judgment and condemnation. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 to 10 says, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So we are new creation. Our thoughts and mind have been changed from the untruth into the truth. This is the way to gain eternal life. This is the proper way to live a Christian life. And we have taken off the dirty shoes of the untruth. We have taken off the old self. We are putting on the new self. Then our knowledge will also be renewed. We fill the knowledge of God. Verse 10 says, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So, the knowledge in the world does not agree with the knowledge of God. So, in order to be changed, we have to deny the knowledge of the world according to the knowledge of the truth. That doesn't mean you have to forget everything you learned in the world. But whatever is not right, whatever not is not in agreement with the truth, you have to cast it away. Suppose in the truth, if you try to die, you will live. And if you try to live, you will die. So, according to the worldly knowledge, you don't be able to understand it. Suppose somebody is trying to kill you. Somebody created some slanderous words. And he is spreading it. But you just keep quiet about it. You just pray for him and you try to serve him. And this is same as dying. The other person, he is trying to destroy you. But you just follow goodness, pursue goodness. And with the worldly knowledge, it looks like you are a fool. It looks foolish. Because you just stay silent. Sometimes we used to say to the senior pastor, why do you have to keep quiet? Why do you keep quiet? But that was the truth. So he chose to die rather than fight back. And this is the truth. This is the goodness and love of God. So senior pastor said, he died many times. He humbled himself many times. According to the devil tried to destroy him. So he just let it be. If somebody tried to destroy him, he just died. And as a result, God lifted him up. And God set him above other people. It was the same case when he was in the theological college. He was preparing to open a church toward the end of his academic year. In the third year, he was preparing. And somebody was spreading false rumors about him, and he was about to be expelled from the college. But he just kept quiet. And even about the student who was spreading false rumors about him, he just prayed for him. He just gave thanks to God. He didn't complain about the situation at all. And he overcame, and in such a short time, he let there be great turn of events. So by the time he graduated, he was so loved by all the staff, all the faculty, and all other students. And also, just as in the representative prayer, he was excommunicated from the previous denomination. Basically, he died, but he never complained. He never fought back. And God created this great turn of events of goodness. So we had this fivefold holiness gospel, and we were able to create this new denomination. And it also is the same in 98 and 99. There were so many people who were trying to destroy him, but he just harbored everybody with goodness. He never hated them back. And just because they were doing evil, because they were going away from salvation, does that mean whatever he prayed for, what he prayed for them, the prayers that he did for them, does that mean they were in vain? Of course not. All the deeds of goodness will be stored up in the sight of before God, and it'll come back to you. You know, if you committed sins and if you are suffering, of course you have to repent. But even without committing sins, when there are difficulties brought up by the devil, if you just keep on practicing in truth, God will give you victory, and God will let you have great turn of events. And that's what we've been seeing in the history of Manmin. And also our thoughts and the Word of God, they are different many times. If you want to be served, serve others first. And with our fleshly thoughts, it's not really right according to the knowledge of the world. When the parents raise their children, they usually say, don't be beaten up by others. If they hit you once, you hit them back twice. And why do you have to get beaten and cry? Weep like a little girl. Don't do that. You hit them back. But God says, if you want to be served, serve others first. So if you obey and serve others, God will lift you up. And He will let you be served. And if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. That is the word of God. And if you obey, God will give you the grace. And it is not a loss. God gives you blessing. The knowledge of the world and knowledge of God, they are different. So sometimes you might feel you're suffering a loss. You are being made full. Sometimes it looks like it. But if you believe the word of God is true and just obey it, eventually your thoughts will also be changed. If you practice the word of God and if your hearts are changed, your knowledge will be changed. At first, you don't have the knowledge of the truth completely settled in you. So you still have your ego. You still have your own ideas. So you might feel like you are being made full. You are suffering a loss when you practice the word of God. At first. But if you change your heart, transform your heart with the truth by practicing the truth, your knowledge will also be changed. In the past, you might have thought, if somebody strikes you, it is right to strike him back. But now, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, you just turn to him the other also. That's your idea. That's your knowledge. So it is not hard to practice the word of God any longer. But because when your knowledge is not yet changed by the knowledge of God, then you might feel you're suffering a loss. So you might not be able to practice the word of God, or even if you are practicing the word of God, you still feel a bit uneasy. So when your knowledge has to be changed completely so that you will have peace when you practice the word of God. So you know the word of God, you receive the grace of God, and yet, aren't you hitting back when somebody slaps you on the right cheek? You have to try to practice the word of God. And in your deeds, at least, in your deeds, you have to at least imitate practicing the word of God. But sometimes you don't even try. Aren't you hitting back when somebody slaps you on the right cheek? If somebody slaps you on the right cheek, do you try to hit them back twice? If somebody slaps you on the right cheek, just turn to him the other also. And just serve others. Humble yourself. And have peace. If that is the way of peace, you can just do that. You'd rather do that. So if that is what God wants us to do, when you do that, God is with you. So at first, you learn the word of God and try to practice it. And then by practicing it, you will be able to cultivate it in your heart so that you will be completely a renewed creation. And your thoughts will also be changed according to the truth. When such a person says, I believe, it'll be done as they have believed. That was the case with the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3 verses 7 to 8 says, But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. We used to have our own ideas, our own personality. We have to break them all and count them rubbish so that we can be renewed, new creation, and we'll be able to wear the shoes of the gospel of peace. Let us check if you are just hearing the gospel or you're actually putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace. If you wear the shoes of the gospel of peace, you'll gain the true peace given by the Lord. So that is why it says, it doesn't just say shoes of the gospel, but shoes of the gospel of peace. So until now, I talked about the dirty shoes that we used to wear. But so let us check whether or not we are still wearing the dirty shoes of the untruth. But as we obey the word of God, our hearts will be changed. Our knowledge will also be renewed. We will become true children of God. And those who wear the gospel of peace, those who wear the shoes of the gospel of peace, they will have peace. And that is why it is called the shoes of the gospel of peace. Have you had peace during this past week? If you were wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace, you would have been in peace, at peace. But if you were not at peace because of some maybe family problems, children's problems, financial problems, spouse problems, or problems in the business or in the workplace. If there is anybody who was not at peace, it means you are not wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace properly. Maybe you didn't put them on completely. Maybe you are putting on only one shoe. So let us check yourself. I want you to check yourself with the Word of God. Let us delve into the word peace. It is called the shoes of the gospel of peace, and not just the shoes of the gospel. It is in line with the reason why we call Sunday the day of peace. Those who worship God, those who keep the Lord's Day holy, they spend the whole day at church doing voluntary services or attending worship services, and yet they don't get tired. They learn the Word of God, the way of God, and they go before God. So the Lord's Day is a happy day. And if they keep the Lord's Day holy, they receive the wishes of their hearts. It is a day of blessing. It is a day of true rest. That is why it used to be Sabbath. So the Lord's Day gives us peace. So it is the shoes of the gospel of peace. Gospel is the good news. Good news is that God is our Father, and there is heaven and hell, and God has prepared heaven for us, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, died for us. So when we hear and accept the gospel, we will be filled with peace and joy. You can just remember when you had the first love. You thought this world was everything before you accepted the Lord. You had a broken heart and everything else. But you gained peace that couldn't be given by anybody else in the world, that the world couldn't give. So even though you didn't take the pleasures of the world, you were still happy because you became God's children. You realized you were sinners and you repented of all your sins, so you were filled with peace, joy. And when you prayed, you received the strength to overcome this world. So, this is the power of the gospel, giving you peace. So I believe you all have this kind of experience and you should do the same today. But what if you lose the first love? When you listen to the Word of God on Sunday and when your sins are pointed out, you feel sorry and embarrassed rather than being happy because you don't practice the Word of God knowing it. You feel it is hard rather than joyful about it. So you can't really pray and you can't. So you have to repent and recover the first love and the joy. If you don't commit any sins, even if when you hear about sins, there's nothing to be ashamed of, so you still have peace. And if you lose peace because you are committing sins, so that is why you have to repent quickly and cast away sins, so you will recover the peace and joy. But if you don't do that, even if the Holy Spirit is groaning in you, letting you realize, and yet if you don't repent, and if you just go back to the world and live just like worldly people, unbelievers, and if you don't, so which means if you don't practice the gospel, practice the word of God, then you're not happy any longer when you come to church on Sundays. It is not a day of true rest, but it is a difficult day. It's because you are not wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace. God doesn't just tell us to hear the gospel, but also do the word of God. So because we don't practice it, we feel hard. So to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace is to practice the word of God that we hear. So as you obey the word of God, you'll be at peace, even in the world. The word of God doesn't give us a hard time. Not keeping it gives us a hard time. God tells us to love our enemies. When you didn't know it, when you hated your enemies, you are at peace. You are at comfort. Somebody gives you a hard time. And you felt fine when you attacked back. And maybe if they were so strong, much stronger than you, then you didn't dare. But if they were colleagues, then you have to fight back. Otherwise, you have this burning anger in you, burning hard feelings in you. You don't be able to get any sleep, so because you want to pay back. You had a quarrel yesterday, and now you remember what you should have said. Now you get what you should have said. So tomorrow, I will say this to him. I'll attack him in this way. Oh, he has this fault. His idea is wrong in this way. So you think about it all night long. So the next day you have to go and fight. So when you didn't know the truth, you were at peace this way. Without attacking him back, you feel like you lost and you have a hard time. But you know the truth now. Knowing the truth, you can't do that. Those who are, those who have a weak faith, they may be at peace when they struggle. Maybe they are newcomers, new believers, but if you know the truth and if you have been a Christian for a significant amount of time, then you'll have pangs of conscience when you fight back. This is actually right to have pangs of conscience. But if you fight back, slander back, then and you still feel fine about it, it means you've lost your faith. So we have to recover it. Even if somebody gives you a hard time, you have to love it. You have to love them back. You have to still love them. That is the act of the shepherd. And when did you backslide? And when you hate somebody, you have to slander. And do you have to slander and gossip about them? Of course not. Of course you can't go back to that kind of state. So God tells us to love our enemies. And if you obey it, you'll be at peace. If you hate somebody, of course your peace will be lost. Suppose somebody gives you a hard time. Your boss gives you a hard time in your workplace. And if you just obey the word of God, you won't feel it is hard. But you'll feel that it is a chance given to you so that you can fill yourself with goodness and love. If you practice the truth, you'll be at peace. On the contrary, if you don't practice the truth, you won't be at ease. So this is the true, correct conscience. So check, why don't you check yourself? When you slander somebody, when you try to argue with somebody, were you at peace? I don't believe so. When somebody delivers some news to you, do they have peace or do they have, do they become uncomfortable? So, if they become uncomfortable, why do you have to spread words that make others uncomfortable? Why do you have to reveal other people's faults? So, you probably felt, when you tried to do that, you probably felt the Holy Spirit is not happy. So, that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why do you have to be at uneasy state? Why do you have to be at discomfort? So it means if you are spreading such things, then it means you are not wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace. Even if somebody hates you, you have to love them back according to the truth. And if you sacrifice yourself and humble yourself, God will let you have peace with even with your enemies. The misunderstandings will go away and you will be loved. And because you keep the word of God, you'll be blessed in every matter, in your companies, in your workplaces, wherever you are. If you practice the word of God, the gospel of peace, then you'll be at peace. But if you show your evil, hard feelings, then the peace will go away. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Sometimes you might feel it hard, but just if you stand on the rock of faith, you won't feel it as hard. Those who wear the shoes of the gospel of peace, those who practice the truth, this narrow way doesn't feel so hard. But rather, you'll be filled with happiness and joy. So that was the case with the patriarchs, or the apostles and disciples, Paul and Peter, and other disciples. They went very, very difficult ways. But they themselves didn't think it was hard. They were just filled with happiness and joy and thankfulness. Maybe you think, and because Peter, Paul, they had great faith, so they were feeling that way. But what about the layman members of the early church? We can't say they had such great faith like the apostles. And yet they saw the power of the Lord and the living God manifested through the apostles. So even when they were becoming martyrs, they were praising God with joy. So, we have seen more things than the members, believers of the early church. We have seen more power of God, more manifestations of the power of God, more signs and wonders. Did we not see the sacrifice of the Lord directly? We've seen the sacrifice of the shepherd. So now we understand completely the sacrifice of the Lord, what kind of sacrifice it was. We have seen much more things. We've received much more blessing and grace than the believers of the early church. So we can be thankful. We should be thankful and happy in any situation. So do you feel it's hard when you go this narrow way? Then where is this grace of God? True love, true trust, that comes up, that is revealed when you are in a difficulty, when you really love your spouse. Suppose your husband went bankrupt doing business. Then the whole family suffers. Of course, the whole family suffers. But if they are united with love, the children will not show their sorrow, and they will try to hold up their desires to buy some stuff. Some things, because they don't want to make their parents worry. Oh, I don't want that kind of a smartphone. They worry about their father, and the wife worries about the father. The father worry husband, and the husband worries about the wife. So they, in the history of Manmin, we've always been filled with joy and happiness. But during the course of human cultivation, there might be difficulties from time to time. Without difficulties, it is already heaven. So in difficult times, our true faith and true trust will show. So if you have true trust and true faith, you will rejoice and give thanks, and you will be united in peace and overcome this kind of a time. So whatever you had in your heart will be revealed. If you are not at peace, maybe because of lack of trust, lack of love, lack of faith, Maybe you have a great trust in the shepherd, but because you have evil, you insist on your self-righteousness, and because of that person, you are suffering. And that means your faith is not perfected. Your faith is not complete. It means you're revealing your own shortcomings. So nothing is giving you a hard time. Nothing can take away your peace. It is only you that you are not practicing the Word of God. So depending on how much you practice the Word of God, the level of peace you have will be different. So if you are not practicing the truth, I hope you will turn from your ways. So gospel, the Word of God, is not giving you a hard time. It only leads us to the eternal and beautiful heavenly kingdom. And it gives us peace even on this earth. So those who wear the shoes of the gospel of peace, they obey the Word of God. So they are at peace and happiness. They have happiness all the time. But depending on the measure of faith of each one, sometimes they might feel it is hard to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. But as you keep on obeying, they will understand why God is telling us to serve, sacrifice yourself, and even love our enemies. We'll feel it deep in the heart. So later, our thoughts, our knowledge will also be changed. And our knowledge will also agree. We will agree with God's knowledge. Then we will be able to have the peace and happiness that the world cannot give. We wouldn't just feel it in the heart, but it'll be accompanied by actual material blessings as well. But if you don't obey the gospel, it means you are not wearing the gospel of shoes of gospel. So the enemy devil will try to pull you toward the world constantly. So they will try to agitate your lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and boastful pride of life, so that the world will look good. So if you take off the shoes of the gospel, then the enemy devil will not just leave you. So the reading passage constantly talks about the schemes of the devil. And to stand against it, it is not to take off the shoes of the gospel. So when you take off the shoes of gospel, you feel, oh, Christian life is hard, the world is good. When you receive the grace of God, when you had the first love, the world seemed meaningless. But sometimes during the course of your Christian life, the world looks good. It means the devil is trying to attack you. So you have to overcome. Then you have to check whether you are putting on the gospel of shoes of gospel properly or not. The Bible always tells us not to take the worldly things, but to cut them off, give them up. But if you take the worldly things once and twice, then the enemy devil will bind your feet so hard so that you wouldn't be able to leave the world. So you would fall and stumble. You forget about the grace that you received. And with your shoes, you go out to the world, race back to the world. Even if you don't leave the church, you come to church on Sundays, but if you might have taken off the shoes of gospel and you might be wearing the dirty shoes of the devil, you have to check yourself once again. If the world looks good, and if you feel Christian life is hard, it means you've already been attacked by the devil. And you have to check whether you've lost already. If you cut off the worldly things, what is the fun in life? You might think. What is the fun in life? How will I deal with this emptiness? But that is the thought of the devil, thought of Satan. But instead of the worldly things, you can fill yourself with spiritual things. You can pray, you can praise God, you have to listen to the Word of God, read the Bible, and you preach the gospel to others. And you can fill yourself with spiritual things. Then if you spend a day in this way, you'll be so happy. When this situation happened, took place in the beginning, of course, when I had sadness, sorrow, I read the Bible, especially the Proverbs, because the Proverbs talks about the righteous and the evil. The Bible says the evil ones attack the righteous, and even if the righteous suffers for a moment, eventually God gives them victory. So when I read these Bible verses, my heart will be at peace in an instant. The sadness will turn into joy and happiness, and I could overcome. I could have peace. I could see. So that's why Mrs. Lee said in Daniel prayer meeting, let us read the Bible. Let's have a campaign to read the Bible. So we have the Bible quiz, Bible verses quiz, Bible memorizing quiz today. And so I thank you for coming, for those who came from branch churches. And I hope you will all be able to get the good scores. Those who are busy with memorizing Bible verses, what will they hear? What will they see? They want to give glory to God. They want to be joy to the shepherd. Some people, they get a leave. They get a vacation to memorize the Bible verses. So they can get the answers from the Bible itself. So let us also try to do the same. Let us read the Bible so that we can see and see the clear way of God. Sometimes the righteous is attacked by the evil. But eventually, the righteous will prevail. And the evil ones will fail. Let us not just read the Bible once, one time, one day, but let us keep on reading it. Maybe you can even read the Bible two times, three times. If you are armed with the Word of God, you will realize that you don't have to listen to any of those things that you might be hearing. And if you just practice goodness and truth, then you'll be at peace, you'll be happy. Not just today, but the next day also. You'll be happy the next week as well. So if you don't just hear the gospel, but practice it, you'll be happy. Somebody's harassing you or giving you a hard time, but you love them back. So do you become uneasy? Do you become uncomfortable? Of course not. You are happy when you love him back. You have this peace given by God that the world cannot give. So, because you are practicing the Word of God, even though you are being harassed and you are being given a hard time, you're still happy. But if you fight back, if you quarrel, if you argue, there's no peace. So I hope you will get the answer from here. If you cut off the worldly things and fill yourself with the spiritual things, God will give you the peace that the world cannot give. The peace and happiness and joy from above. Worldly pleasures, worldly entertainments, they give you a momentary pleasure. But God's joy lasts. When you take the worldly things, God's peace, God's joy go away. And if you practice the truth, your joy and happiness will only keep on increasing. If you take the worldly things, there is no satisfaction. Suppose you taste something good, something delicious, something very expensive. Then, later, you'd have to eat something better. And the senior pastor said, he literally says, he wouldn't raise the taste. He wouldn't want to taste something good. And there are people who only look for good food, good taste, and you'd have to look for good restaurants. Then it is a waste of time and money. So senior pastor doesn't want to do that. So he doesn't try to take better things, eat better food. He tries not to do that. So he just concentrates on the spiritual things. And if you concentrate on spiritual things, God gives you peace. But if you take the worldly things, God cannot give you His peace any longer. So when that happens, if you go back, if you repent and turn away and practice the truth and obey the gospel, then you will be able to have constant peace given by God. Maybe you take a rest, maybe after working so hard for the kingdom of God, that you take a vacation. And then after that, you go back to your positions. And men of spirit, what will they think? Oh, I had this rest, this vacation. Everywhere I went, God let me prosper, and I will be more faithful. But what about the worldly people? They spent they had a vacation. Oh, the sea was so good, delicious food, it was so good, and they keep reminding themselves of the good things and they can't concentrate on their work. That is the flesh. So flesh calls for more flesh. But in case of spirit, the spirit is the grace and happiness given by God, so nobody can take it away. So if you lost happiness and joy, you'd have to check where you lost it. Namely, where you lost the shoes of the gospel of peace. And I hope you'll be able to recover. If you practice the truth and do the spiritual things, God gives you peace. And those who are filled with this peace, and sometimes it is just peace, but you'll be filled with unexplainable happiness, overwhelming happiness. This is the profession of the shepherd. But sometimes you feel, oh, God loves you so much. God loves me so much. You might, you know, in your world, in your life, it looks like you might face some difficulties, but you feel the helping hands of God, and you say, oh, God loves me so much, then you'll have this overwhelming peace. Sometimes they feel like they are flying into the sky. How happy a life this is. They don't have any burden of sin, and the Almighty God is their Father, so they have trust with each other, so they are filled with happiness and blessings. So I hope all of you will be able to lead this kind of Christian life. So to practice the Word of God, you have to feel you have to feel happy to do that. But if you don't feel happy to wear the shoes of the gospel, but if you feel it is hard, that thought itself, it means you are being attacked by Satan. So that Satan is attacking us so that we will take off the shoes of the gospel of peace. They try to make us take it easy in faith with so many things. Maybe they will say to you, oh, you can take it easy now. Why do you have to be an extreme? So Satan doesn't whisper in your ears. You have those thoughts, the thoughts of Satan. And they try to lead you to take everything easy in faith. If you have lingering attachment to the world, and if you have flesh, and you might submit to that deception, and even though you come to church on Sundays, you love the world, and you think about the worldly things, and you want to go back. So let us check whether we are still taking the narrow way, whether we are finding joy in wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace. So we have to put on these shoes of the gospel of peace so that we won't feel it's hard to go the narrow way to heavenly kingdom, but find joy in it. So until the Lord comes back, I hope you will be filled with joy until the Lord comes back. The enemy devil, sometimes they might try to scatter some thorns or rocks on your way. But if you have these shoes of the gospel, nothing will matter. The thorns or the rocks cannot harm you. And you can just keep going. And this gospel of peace is ready for everybody to just accept and take. If you want to put on the shoes of the gospel, it is there for you to take. So those who accepted the Lord, all of you, all of them, they have these shoes. You can just put them on. Or you can just go your way without putting them on. Or you can just keep your dirty shoes of the world. So that's your choice. So we don't have to be foolish. We can just put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And see, the pastor advised that we shouldn't just wear these shoes of gospel ourselves, but we have to spread them to the world so that everybody will wear these shoes of the gospel of peace. The last verse of today's reading passage, verse 18 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. We have to also pray for the dying souls. First, we have to put on the shoes of the gospel ourselves first, and then we have to spread the gospel. When you wear these shoes, you'll be at peace. You'll have happiness. You'll have joy. So you can spread the gospel in this way so that they can also come into the gospel. Our church is spreading only the gospel of peace, and we are keeping it, we are practicing it. So God has been guaranteeing the ministry of this church. So we can just keep going even despite some disturbances of the devil. We have our shepherd who is guaranteed by God, and we're at peace. And in case of senior pastor, he mentioned the summer retreat as an example to see the evidence of God guaranteeing us. Even in this past summer retreat, we've seen a lot of things. We felt God was guaranteeing the ministry of this church. Since the opening of this church until now, in all Manmin summer retreats, they were filled with God's glory. Nobody got injured. There was no single traffic accident. There was no hot weather or very cold weather. We always had optimal weather conditions. And we didn't have to worry about people not getting healed in the conferences. Because we believed God was always with us. Because God is always with our shepherd. There were always those who were sick, but healed. Those who experienced the miracles, the power of God, signs and wonders all the time. It's because we are wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace. So we've been guaranteed by God all the time. And not just in this church, but your life should be the same. Those who obey the word of God, even if they are in the world, they don't have to worry about accidents, disasters, and so on and so forth. Like in the Friday All Light service, as they testify, those who are doing orchards, growing fruits, they had this big typhoon in Yamagata Manmin Church in Japan. And all Manmin members, they were protected, and the fruits, they didn't fall. But in other orchards nearby, their fruits fell. Of course, by typhoon strong winds, these storms, the fruits will fall and they're not going to be able to sell them. Even in Korea, a lot of fruits fell and the price hiked. And because they are wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace, they are protected in the space of the shepherd. Because they believe God is always watching us with his blazing eyes. We are at peace all the time. Even if you make a mistake and face a difficulty, you can pray about it. And it'll be changed for good, for the better. But if you commit sins, usually, and then if you face a disaster, you won't be able to have the assurance that God will protect you. God will solve that problem. But if you keep on repenting, and soon, if you really repent thoroughly, then you'll have peace that God will, God has answered, God has forgiven you, and God will answer to your prayers. But if you practice the Word of God all the time, even if you make a mistake to cause a problem for yourself, then even then you can just pray about it and it'll soon be changed for the better. But this kind of a thing, I want you to remember, we have to keep it in mind, that this kind of a peace, this kind of protection doesn't come to everybody, but those who practice the Word of God, those who keep the Word of God. Let me conclude the message. John chapter 14 and chapter 16, Jesus foretold his disciples about his crucifixion. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." There are a lot of meanings contained in these verses, but let me very briefly explain to you. The disciples, they were with Jesus. They saw a lot of signs and wonders that couldn't be done by men. So they participated with joy in the ministry of Jesus. But when Jesus talked about his crucifixion, they were worried. They had to be sad because they didn't have enough faith. They didn't even receive the Holy Spirit yet. So knowing their heart, Jesus said, "Peace, my peace I give to you." They didn't understand the meaning of peace right away, but later they could understand what it means. The sufferings that Jesus went through, it is a peace and blessing for all mankind. So they should overcome the momentary parting from Jesus. And through the crucifixion of Jesus, true peace came upon all mankind. So this period that we are going through, it's the same. When we go through trials, our hearts may be broken. But those who look up to the will of God, those who try to find the will of God, they can be at peace. So this is what God wants of us. The disciples, before they received the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was arrested, they ran away. But after they received the Holy Spirit, but you have the Holy Spirit and you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know the will of God, the providence of God. So you are overcoming with prayers and fasting. But until you see the final outcome of blessing, let us keep going. With fervent prayers, let us fulfill our duties diligently so that we'll be commended. Well done, my faithful servant, by God. I pray this in the name of the Lord. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command. The enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.